This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757, and you can email us talk@talklouisiana.org. Our leadoff guest is George Papadopoulos. His book is Deep State Target, and he was the first person to go to prison for his involvement in the so-called Mueller probe. He served about a dozen days in prison. And it's an amazing story for a still very young man. George is all of 31 years old. He was born August 19, 1987, Bill Clinton's 41st birthday. And then when he was in his late 20s, he got into the inner sanctum of the Trump campaign. As his book says, Papadopoulos was there in secret meetings across the globe, on city streets being tailed by agents, watching Jeff Sessions make false statements under oath about a strategy session he attended, and ultimately being interrogated by Mueller's team and agreeing to a guilty plea. And he is here to tell his story, which is detailed in Deep State Target. And good morning to you, George Papadopoulos.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, how in the world did you get to the higher ranks of the Trump team at such a young age?
You know, I was very fortunate because I had really good colleagues and mentors in Washington, D.C. for 5 years leading up to the summer of 2015. I had been working at the Hudson Institute in D.C. It's a conservative think tank, along with Republican personalities such as Douglas Feith, who was the number three at the Pentagon under Bush, George W. Bush, Seth Cropsey, who was the Undersecretary of the Navy under Reagan, and Scooter Libby, who was obviously Dick Cheney's chief of staff. So I was really lucky to basically right out of grad school to get into the fray with these people, and they allowed me to really start initiating and designing some very interesting, highly sensitive projects about the energy industry and how the U.S. policy is going to change in the Middle East after energy was discovered in Israel. So that's what I was doing for 5 years. It put a target on me, and because we were promoting an agenda that the Obama administration did not want. And this agenda basically was being listened to by the leaders of those countries in the Middle East. And I end up fast-forwarding, let's say, to the summer of 2015, and there's a presidential campaign season underway, as we all know. Donald Trump comes down those escalators at Trump Tower, and I don't know what it was in me. To this day, I don't know, but and people don't believe me until they see the emails. But I emailed Corey Lewandowski the day after that. This must have been June 2015. And I told him, Corey, my name is George Papadopoulos, and, you know, I think your candidate is going to do great things, and he's going to win. And I thought he was going to win because for the simple reason that he stayed on message, and he actually had a clear and concise message, and that was about trade, security, and immigration. And those were three issues that were affecting both the pockets of everyday Americans and the personal safety of everyday Americans. So, obviously, you know, he kept pressing on those. Corey liked my background. We stayed in touch. The campaign wasn't expanding yet, so he said, let's keep in touch as the campaign expands and we'll get you back on. So then I joined Ben Carson's campaign. People don't realize that I first started working in presidential campaign politics with the Ben Carson campaign. So I worked with the doctor for 4 months. And as soon as he drops out, Corey Lewandowski reaches out to me again, I think in late February or early March, and asks me to join. And that's how it happened.
Well, about 11 months after President Trump announced, you have this meeting in May 10, 2016, at London's Kensington Wine Room that's become legendary. This is considered to be the catalyst for everything that happened in the Mueller probe. You're meeting with an Australian diplomat. What occurred there?
Yeah, so I think now that the truth is finally coming out, that meeting is going to be legendary for another reason. And it's going to be legendary for the fact that the Australian government was illicitly spying on an American citizen and on a opposition presidential campaign. And let me just clarify what I mean. As you explained, the old narrative, I guess the New York Times narrative, has been that George Papadopoulos and Alexander Downer were randomly meeting in a bar and somehow Hillary and Russia came up. And then Alexander Downer passed along information that the FBI sat on for about 4 months, and then they launched an investigation. There's nothing further from the truth than that. I was invited 5 months ago to testify in front of the House Oversight Committee along with three other witnesses, not at the same time, but only four witnesses were invited to testify about FISA abuse. And those three other witnesses were Jim Comey, Sally Yates, and Loretta Lynch. And people were scratching their heads, especially I was, because I was wondering, why would I be invited to testify about FISA abuse if my case is so clear-cut and black and white? And by the time I get to testifying in front of Mark Meadows and John Ratcliffe, the congressman, and now, by the way, my testimony is public, so anybody could read this, you can see the questions that they're asking me about Alexander Downer and about surveillance abuse and many other issues, that Alexander Downer was a spy sent to make contact with me and more likely than not dirty me up to create a fake pretext to launch or to have further information and evidence of some nature to get more FISA warrants. So I don't ever remember talking about this with Alexander Downer. In fact, I told the FBI and Mueller themselves that I thought Downer was spying on me at the Kensington Wine Rooms. And I explained it in my book. And Mueller and his team tell me, how did you know he was recording your conversation? And I basically take out my phone, as I explain in my book, and I even show Mueller to his face. This is what Downer was doing. He was spying on me with his phone. So the story's a little different. I understand that, you know, the New York Times wants to run cover for the intel agencies who are basically spying on us. But the truth of the matter is this. Alexander Downer and the Australian government and the UK government were colluding with the Obama FBI, CIA, and Department of Justice to basically lay various traps for the Trump campaign to make it seem like we were working with Russians when we never were.
Well, and were spying on us and wiretapping us. We could get down in the weeds on this for all the time we have with you, George.
But, sure.
But why do you think
it's just such a key point?
I understand what you're saying, and you have presented it well. But why do you think the Russians wanted Donald Trump to win this election?
Well, I don't know if necessarily. Okay, look. Every 4 years, the most highly watched and anticipated event in the world is not the Olympics or the World Cup; it's the presidential election. Of course, U.S. allies and foes are going to try and meddle, interfere, or pick their horse in that race. And, you know, just like the British and the Australians and Europe despised Trump because he wanted to promote, these non-globalist issues, he was openly about promoting a working relationship with Russia. So if that meant that Putin and the Russians wanted him to win, I don't know if they necessarily wanted him to win to the extent that they would meddle to help him win, because no one on the campaign was dealing with the Russian government. And I make that actually very clear in my book. Neither was Donald Trump. So there's a disconnect between Donald Trump's public rhetoric and statements about working with Russia at a geopolitical level versus him openly wanting them to help his campaign win, which of course never happened, and why this entire Russia hoax was exactly that, a hoax.
Why did you plead guilty?
When I pled guilty, there was a lot of misunderstanding on my side and of my own lawyers on what my case actually was really all about. I, without getting into too many details, because we're limited on time, basically the key man, this man Joseph Mifsud, this professor overseas, who one day in London told me, hey, do you know that the Russians have Hillary's emails? I told the FBI this. And I didn't know at the time I was telling the FBI this information by trying to help my country that this guy was actually working with the FBI trying to entrap me. So the FBI then asks me, when did you meet him? And then I misremembered when I met him, and they catch me in this perjury trap like they did Roger Stone, Jerome Corsi, Michael Flynn. And, of course, I didn't understand that this guy was working for the FBI when he met me, because the FBI never told me. They were telling me and the world that he was a Russian spy. But now later on, we found out he wasn't. So basically, to answer your question, there was a lot of confusion. I wasn't presented with exculpatory evidence. And then, of course, Mueller and his team wanted to lay on these various charges ranging from obstruction of justice to me working as some sort of unregistered agent of the Israeli government, which was insanity. So that's basically what they did. I'm sure they did it to Flynn, too, and that's why he probably pled guilty, right. And that's why I pled guilty.
Do you think that the charges and the pleas and the verdicts by against Flynn, against Manafort, pending charges against Stone, are they valid?
If what they did to me is the playbook, where they were sending informants and various entrapment operations, then no. But if they really did their crimes that were disassociated from their time on the campaign that I have no idea about, I really don't have an opinion because I don't know too much. But if anything happened like it did to me, where it was clear-cut entrapment, and now it's basically public knowledge.
Okay, we're going to continue with George Papadopoulos taking a short break. The book is Deep State Target, and we're back after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. A few more minutes with George Papadopoulos. His book is Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. George served 12 days in prison. He pleaded guilty. He was fined $9,500. And, of course, he has become part of the lexicon of the Mueller probe. He was the first casualty, if you will. And he believes that I may be putting words in his mouth, but the book was written before the Attorney General, William Barr, made his report about the Mueller report, and that's what we have is really the Barr report. But I gather you're in the same camp as he, that he believes there was not only no collusion, if you will, but also no obstruction of justice. Is that your stand as well, George?
That's my stand, and I would take it even further, and I would echo the president's own sentiment and statements that basically the campaign was spied on, and this was a potential coup in the making against the president.
All right. We're going to go to some phone lines, and, of course, there was an investigation we know of the Trump campaign, but many believe that it was justified because there was obviously contact and lots of it between many Trump operatives and Russia. But was that spying? The Attorney General says it was. 877-217-5757. And please do not be unkind to our guest. He's obviously coming forward, and he doesn't have to do this. And he's served time as a result of his actions, and he's telling his story. George Papadopoulos with us for a few more minutes, and let's go to Jim in Livingston Parish. Hi, Jim.
You know, he does kind of have to do this to get his book sales going.
All right, what's your question?
I'm kind of flabbergasted by the complete lack of personal responsibility here and just the fact that he's wanting to just pawn everything off on, you know, these nefarious actors spying on him when he showed up at a wine bar that was frequented by diplomats and drank enough wine for his lips to get loose.
All right. What about those who believe you got what was coming to you, George?
Well, that's unfortunately not the truth, and that's exactly why I am going public, because if we're going to believe or what the New York Times is telling you, then I think we're going to have a lot of confused Americans out there. That never happened. In fact, I was invited by Alexander Downer, this Australian diplomat, after meeting or having been invited by three various intermediaries at the time from the U.S. Embassy and these various intelligence groups who were probing me and others on the campaign, to then arrange this meeting with Alexander Downer the same week that Peter Strzok's boss at the FBI was in London. So this meeting now, not only is this New York Times story fake, this actual meeting right now is under investigation by Congress itself for being part of a conspiracy between the Obama FBI and the Australian government.
All right. Do you feel
any
reservation about getting caught up in all this? If you had to do it over, would you have been involved with the Trump campaign at all?
I wouldn't change a thing about working on both the Carson and Trump campaign and Trump transition team because, as I've stated, the Trump campaign did not do anything wrong except win. And unfortunately, the candidate that we won against was Hillary Clinton, and we had all the cards stacked up against us. And that's actually all the information that's just now coming out. Mm-hmm. And we could talk for hours about it, but we don't have that time right now.
Well, you live in a state that Hillary Clinton won by 4 million votes, California. How's it going out there?
Well, it's quite an interesting experience. You know, there are a lot of hidden conservatives out here. And sometimes when I'm walking outside, you know, you'll have some people honk and yell, and then you have the others who come up to me while I'm having lunch with my wife, and they'll come and say, we're private supporters of you and the president. We just can't be vocal here, and we're terrified. So it's one of these kind of places, a beautiful state, but, you know, it's not really that great of a place if you want freedom of expression and thought, especially on the political side if you're conservative.
All right. Well, thank you, George Papadopoulos. Good to talk with you, and congratulations on deep state target. Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.